Victorians are tonight fighting for life inside the burns unit at the Alfred Hospital.
It's now officially Australia's worst natural disaster. Across the state, most concerns centering around a blaze at Beechworth in the state's north. Other fires are burning at Murrindindi and Kinglake to the north of Melbourne. Firefighters are also battling blazes at Reedsdale, Bunyip and Dargo.
31 fires still burning in Victoria. Five of those fires are regarded as major fires. The primary concern at this stage is for the Beechworth fire, which is in the northeast of the state. It is still out of control and it is being fanned by some variable winds, which is making it incredibly difficult to fight and uncontrolled. And the toll is growing by the minute. By the minute, people here at Whittlesea are finding out that they have lost loved ones. The father who stayed to fight and defend their family home at Pheasant Creek has only found out this morning that two of his children died in fire.
G'day, this is Rusty O'Neill, the presenter of Haunted Down Under with Paramad. Both shows air on Barracks Network. As many of you know, the state where I live, Victoria, in Australia, is in the grip of the worst disaster in Australia's history. Our state is being ravaged by bushfires that have claimed over 160 lives, some of them children. It's destroyed thousands of homes and wiped out whole townships. Many of the firefighters working to beat back the blazes have watched as their very own homes went up in flames as they fought to save their neighbour's house. I cannot begin to tell you the despair and heartbreak felt by those, so many who have lost everything. I'm asking for your help. A fire relief fund has been established and every dollar will go to help these people carry on in the face of everything they have suffered. Please go to www.haunteddownunder.com where you will find information on how to donate. I don't care if it's just a dollar or two. Every cent is needed to help them. I know times are tough, but regardless of where we are from, we must always band together in these times to help each other out. The website again is www.haunteddownunder.com. Thank you for listening.
Adjust your sound. This transmission has been interrupted. You are now listening to the Ghost Lab.
I'm your host, Beth Brown. Thanks for joining me this evening in the Ghost Lab.
Shall I shut down the coils during the broadcast?
Thanks, Nick. That would be great. I don't know what I'd ever do without you. When you're done over there, how about introducing yourself to our listeners?
I would be glad to. My name is Nick. I am named for Nikola Tesla, the father of modern robotics. I am a fully mobilized robotic laboratory assistant. Welcome, listeners.
All right, Nick, we better get to work. We have a lot to cover in this broadcast. Tonight's topic concerns something that nearly every paranormal investigator has heard of, but few really stop to think about on a deep level. That topic is EVP.
EVP, also known as electronic voice phenomena. Inaudible spirit voices are captured by a recording device. They are then heard upon playback of the recording.
That's right. The part of that definition that really has me wondering, though, is the statement that the voices are inaudible. Have you ever stopped to wonder why we try and capture them with audio recorders if they're inaudible?
Perhaps the voices are outside the range of human hearing. Their sound waves could be ultrasonic or higher than detected by the ear. It is possible the waves are on the lower end of the spectrum, the subsonic end.
Those are two good theories, but I still wonder if EVP are created by sound waves at all. Sound's a mechanical wave, meaning it can only be produced physically, like when you strike a drum, or by causing the air to vibrate over your vocal cords. Couldn't it be possible that EVP are imprinted using some type of invisible energy? Maybe radiation from the electromagnetic spectrum. That theory fits all the requirements. We can't hear microwaves, radio waves, or X-rays, but they surround us all the time. Spirit voices could be on one of the frequencies we can only detect with the help of technology.
I can generate a project for tonight's investigators' workshop, and an experiment to help test your idea. I am curious to learn the results.
That would be perfect. Would you mind getting started with the plans while I talk to our friends a little about the electromagnetic spectrum?
No problem.
Wow, he's so handy to have around. Nick works really quickly, so why don't we talk about invisible energy while he's busy? Okay, imagine for a moment millions of waves shooting through the atmosphere all the time. In your house, in your car, even aimed straight at your head right now. Most of them can't harm you in small doses, but they could kill you in little time if you were exposed to them in high quantity. The waves can penetrate the walls of your house and even travel straight through your body. All those tiny waves you're imagining are real. They surround us all the time. Visible light, radio, microwaves, gamma rays. These are all members of a big dysfunctional family called electromagnetic radiation. Don't let the word radiation scare you. Just remember it means that the waves are traveling or radiating from their source. Electromagnetic radiation, or EMR, is produced naturally by countless sources in nature. Take our sun, for example. We all know the sun produces visible and ultraviolet light, but did you know it also emits radio waves? Our neighboring star isn't the only celestial body that has something to say, though. Giant radio telescopes have recorded sounds from galaxies far away, and the waves that reach us here make up a brilliant musical chorus. Here's an example. Of course, man-made devices can also produce a wide array of EMR. The television station in your town, the cell tower nearby, even the microwave oven in your kitchen bombard you with electromagnetic radiation every day. With so much EMR in our environment, going unnoticed by our senses, could it be possible that we've been missing out on spirit communication mixed in with all those other wavelengths? Could that be why so many EVP sound strangely mechanical and distorted? I think the only way to find out answers to these questions is through careful experimentation. Before we begin any tests, we should first jog that memory of yours back to junior high science class and review the scientific method. Fear not, it'll be easy. Are you ready? The scientific method is the process for experimentation that's used to explore observations and answer questions. Scientists use the scientific method to search for cause and effect relationships in nature. In other words, they design an experiment so that changes to one item cause something else to change in a predictable way. Just as it does for a professional scientist, the scientific method will help you to focus your question about the paranormal, construct a hypothesis, design, execute, and evaluate your experiment. The first step of the scientific method is to ask a question. We've already got that covered. Can EVP be caused by electromagnetic radiation instead of sound waves? The second step is to conduct background research. Gather as much understanding as you can about the forces and factors that may have an influence on your question. You may find during the research period that a study has already been performed and your question answered. Background research prevents a lot of wasted time. The next step is to form a hypothesis. A hypothesis is merely a reasonable guess. Think of your guess as a statement like, I bet if I do blank, blank will happen as a result. My hypothesis for today's question is, if sound is taken out of the equation, EVP will still be recorded as a result of electromagnetic radiation. Here comes the fun part. Test your hypothesis with an experiment. Let's go see if Nick has a plan ready for this step. Hey Nick, how's that super secret project coming along?
The project is ready. I marvel at its simplicity.
Awesome. All right, what sort of supplies will our listeners need to create this project?
They will need a digital audio recorder or tape recorder with a jack for using an external microphone. Listeners will also need a plug-in adapter for using two microphones at once.
Thought you said you marvel at this project's simplicity. Sounds like it might get confusing to me.
Trust me, a kitchen toaster could do it.
Okay, what do we need to do with these supplies?
Simply plug the adapter into the microphone jack on the recording device. This will disable the microphone. Use the recorder as you would normally.
Wow, you weren't kidding about simple.
I never kid. I simply state the facts.
Thanks, Nick. It's field test time. Now that we have a key ingredient needed to conduct our experiment, we need to design our control model. The control model is the segment of the test that is not exposed to the variable in question, in this case, the electromagnetic radiation. A simple way to prevent electromagnetic radiation from reaching the audio recorder is to place it in a conductive chamber called a Faraday cage. I know, it sounds a little scary, but trust me, it's not. This is the same thing used to protect sensitive computer equipment from static discharge like lightning strikes. It also shields your cable TV wiring to prevent interference from other broadcast signals. It is specially designed to block low-level EMR. I recommend visiting our friends at sciencefirst.com and ordering their handy 4.5-inch by 10-inch model for only $15. The kit comes with everything you need and is the perfect size to fit a handheld audio recorder. Are you ready to conduct our little experiment? This will take a bit of time, but it will be well worth it to determine if our hypothesis is correct. First, you'll need about 3 hours in a location with suspected paranormal activity. The best case would be to find a site where several investigators claim to have captured EVP in the past. Start with either your control model, your audio recorder with its mic disabled, placed inside the Faraday cage. Or start with your variable, the audio recorder with its mic disabled and left out in the open. Record 6 segments of 15 minutes each with both your control and your variable. When you're done, you'll have 90 minutes recorded inside the Faraday cage and 90 minutes recorded outside the Faraday cage. The small 15-minute segments make it much easier to review your data later.
Very interesting. You could save time and strengthen the data collected in the study by using two identical audio recorders simultaneously. You would, of course, need an assistant to help with the starting and stopping of each recording segment.
That's a great point. I'm sure that most of our listeners work with investigative teams or know a curious someone who's willing to lend a hand. You could strengthen your test even more by recording 3 segments with each, and then have the recorder in the Faraday cage trade places with the other recorder outside the Faraday cage. If you do this, be sure to label each recorder and take careful notes of where they were stationed during each recording segment.
Don't forget, written and illustrated instructions for this project are available at www.ghostlaboratory.com.
Having fun yet? If not, maybe the next step in the scientific method will spice things up for you. Analyzing your results. After reviewing each of your recordings, take a good look at your findings. Did you capture anything anomalous at all? If so, was the anomaly caught by the recorder inside or outside of the Faraday cage? A careful assessment of the test results will determine if the hypothesis is true or false. If your data supports your hypothesis, go celebrate! Then get busy putting together a report of your findings to share with others. If your data is inconclusive or does not support your guess, it's time to rethink and go back to step one. Don't consider this a defeat, though. It's a critical step in the research process. If you missed any details of tonight's project in the investigator's workshop or would like to review the steps of the field test, instructions are available on the web at ghostlaboratory.com. You'll also find a handy reference chart there for reviewing the scientific method, the backbone of all good experiments. Nick and I would love to hear about the results of your trials using the ideas presented this evening. You can email us your findings using the link at ghostlaboratory.com.
Pardon me. I'm detecting an incoming transmission. Shall I switch it to the telecom channel?
Go right ahead, Nick. Listeners, stick around because we'll be answering your questions in the Ghost Lab after this short break in the signal.
Art Mart.
This week, enjoy Art Smart products your family will eat up. One serving of Van Gogurt contains the live and active culture your kids need. Buy one, get higher test scores free. And nothing satisfies a child's craving for self-expression like Tchaikovsky's Nutcrackers, now with more music and dance in every bite. Try original flavor or new Sugar Plum Fairy. Feed your kids the arts. Visit AmericansForTheArts.org to learn how. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
If there was an emergency, would your family have enough water and non-perishable food to last 3 days? We asked families across the country. Here are some of their answers.
We usually eat fresh food daily.
In the pantry, we have canned tomatoes.
Sure, that's really not survival food, tomato paste.
The brand of dog food that I do purchase are edible by humans.
Is your plan any better? To learn more about making an emergency plan for your family, go to ready.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chomps through anything. Just put it on and instantly chomp through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete.
Hi-yah!
Brick walls.
Hi-yah!
Trees.
Hi-yah!
Small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars. It chops things!
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Welcome back to Ghost Lab. I'm your host, Beth Brown. I hope that you're all excited about the prospect of experimenting with EVP, and that the first half of the show really got your wheels turning. Now Nick and I are going to take some time and answer questions from listeners. Tonight's first question comes from Lee in Maryland. Lee writes, "Why do some people prefer to use white noise generators while trying to record EVP? When I've tried them, I find it almost impossible to be sure if what I'm listening to during playback is really a voice or just my mind making up something that's not there." This is a great question, Lee, and this really has more to do with the theory that EVP are caused by sound waves. There's a popular theory being studied now that spirits can somehow manipulate sound waves and change them to convey the messages that they want heard. Many investigators believe that if they use a white noise generator that uses many of the same tones as the human voice, often something like a box fan or a radio that's just broadcasting static, that spirits can then manipulate those tones to convey some sort of message using a voice. But how can you be sure if what you're hearing during playback is really a voice or your mind putting two and two together? Have a friend listen to your recording. Don't tell them what you think is there. Have their opinion judge against yours. Sometimes taking a break from reviewing your audio recordings gives you enough time to reset, and that way, when you listen the second time, you may hear something completely different. It's all about experimentation and research. Try anything you can and get anyone you can think of to help you review. If white noise generators cause so much problem that you can't understand the audio recordings during playback or you have more difficulty reviewing them, just try and go without them. Most audio recorders these days have enough internal noise that adding noise from a white noise generator is really over the top. Thanks for a great question, Lee. Our next question comes from Janet in Ohio. Janet asks, should I ask questions during my experimental recordings to try and stir a spirit to respond? Again, another great question. Thanks for your submission, Janet. I think asking questions during experimental EVP sessions is a great way to try and prompt a response. Logic would indicate if a spirit is there, they would be more likely to communicate if asked a question. Most people only respond when a conversation is started by someone else. If you're asking questions during an EVP session where you're not using microphones, such as in tonight's Investigators Workshop experiment, make sure you make careful notes of what you ask and when. That way, when you review your 15-minute segments after the fact, you can find if any of the responses in your recordings match up with the questions you've asked. This could add much more credibility to the outcome of your experiment. Thanks so much, Janet, for your contribution. Our next question comes from Doug in Florida. Doug writes, I read that if I place my audio recorder in an empty paint can and put the lid on, it's just as good as a real Faraday cage. Is that true? Great question, Doug. Unfortunately, the jury is still out on this one. Determining if the paint can is just as good as a real Faraday cage really depends on the paint can. Also, your paint can would need to have a non-conductive base, either sitting it on something rubber or non-conductive plastic. Lots of paint cans nowadays come with a plastic base to prevent them from rusting onto floors and garage shelves. Experiment by placing a small FM radio inside of your paint can. Close the lid, see if you can still hear the radio. If you can, that's a great indicator that radio frequency is still penetrating the walls of that bucket. Thanks for writing, Doug. Our next question comes from Steven in Colorado. Steven writes, I think I found an EVP in one of my experimental recordings. Should I use audio editing software to clean it up and make the EVP more pronounced? Great question, Steven. I'm sure that this one, though, will open a huge can of worms in the paranormal investigation field. I'm a firm believer that your EVP is more credible when you do not alter the recording in any way. If you want to amplify the recording or pull out background noise just to appease your curiosity, that's great, but make sure you always save your original and refer to your original whenever you are sharing your evidence with others. Manipulated data should never be shared as evidence. Our next question comes from Marianne in New Hampshire. Marianne writes, what is the best kind of recording device for EVP? Wow, I don't know if we have enough time in one show to cover this. But Marianne, that's a great question. And again, this is something that will probably open a huge can of worms because everyone has a differing opinion. Most investigators these days rely on digital audio recorders just because of the convenience, the portability, and the ease of reviewing the recorded sessions with a computer. There are still plenty of old-school investigators out there that rely on cassette tapes and microcassettes because it's thought that the magnetic medium is somehow better at capturing the EVP. I suggest experimenting with both a digital audio recorder and a tape recorder and see which works best for you. If you're looking for brand names, Sony and Olympus recorders are probably the most popular among investigators. They're available through sites like Amazon.com and Overstock.com, as well as at any local Radio Shack, Target, or Walmart. Remember though, Marianne, once you find a device that gives you great results, don't think that that's the only thing that you'll be able to record EVP with. Keep experimenting, you may find something new and different that gives much better results than what you're attaining now. Keep growing and keep learning. Thanks for a great question. If you'd like to ask a question on Ghost Lab, visit www.ghostlaboratory.com and send us an email. Special thanks go out to the Science Museum of Virginia, where there's always something new to discover. Mr. E and the Mindbender Society invite you, your friends, and your family to enter the wonderfully perplexing world of Mindbender, a place full of puzzles, brain teasers, and interactive challenges guaranteed to test the brain power and problem-solving skills of even the most experienced puzzlers. Adults and children alike will enjoy challenging their minds as they attempt to master each of the 40 individual brain teasers and 5 group activities in this fun and unconventional new exhibit. At the Science Museum from January 31st to September 7th, 2009. For more information, visit smv.org. And thanks to our friends at sciencefirst.com, where you can pick up a tabletop Van de Graaff generator, Jacob's ladder, and even your very own Tesla coil for under $300. Visit them on the web at www.sciencefirst.com. Thanks for tuning in to Ghost Lab. Don't forget, Nick and I are here to answer your questions. If there's a project you'd like to see built or instructions for an experiment you'd like to have us cover, please visit www.ghostlaboratory.com and send us your thoughts.
Power is running low. I will restart the generators now.